Amen. Yeah. Well, church, good to be with you today. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms and the grandmoms and the mom figures in the room. Yeah, let's give it up for them. Moms and grandmoms, and those of you who may not have biological children, but have spiritual children here who've loved and shepherded others as your own, what you do matters, and it matters a lot, and we are grateful for you. And yeah, let's just hear it one more time for our mamas. Now, real quick, those sweet little gift bags that Jenny mentioned, guys, those are for the gals only. So don't be trying to steal that little spa mask for yourself. Although some of us might need it, I don't know. Well, this morning I want to introduce us to a mom. And she is actually not a very well-known mom in Scripture, but her son is one of the most famous people ever. And that's kind of how it goes so often, isn't it? There's a famous guy whose mama is kind of in the shadows. But without mama being who mama was, son would never accomplish what he's accomplished. And so today we're going to dig into Exodus chapter 2 to learn about this mom. But she's actually unnamed in the narrative that we're going to look at. Now this narrative, this true story in history that we're going to look at, she is not named there, so we got to go to another spot of Scripture to actually get the introduction to her to find her name. And we find her name in Numbers chapter 26. Numbers chapter 26. Amram, that's the husband, Amram's wife was named Jochebed. Now, Jochebed was also a descendant of Levi, born among the tribe of the Levites in the land of Egypt. Amram and Jochebed became the parents of Aaron, Moses, and their sister Miriam. That's right. Now you know who the famous son is. The son is Moses. Now Miriam, the daughter, is actually the oldest of them. And then Aaron is the next, and Moses is the runt bringing up the rear. Now Jochebed's name actually means to the glory of God. To the glory of God. And why is that important? Well, because God has told all of us that our lives should bring him glory, that we are to bring glory to God through the way we live. Not that we can add anything to God's glory. God is majestic and awesome and beautiful all on his own. We're not going to do anything to add to his glory. But we can put his glory on display. That's what it means to honor God, to bring glory to God. It's to put his awesomeness, his beauty, his goodness on display for everyone else to see. And the way we do that is by trusting him. When we trust God, we put his glory on display. God is glorified when we trust him. We put his goodness, his faithfulness on display through our lives. And that's exactly what Jochebed did. And that means whether you're a mom or a grandmom or a dad or a granddad or a single adult, a college student, a high school student, wherever you are, whatever station in life you might have, this message is for you. We're going to talk directly to moms today. We're going to talk about a mom today, but the lesson is for all of us, that if we trust God, we will put his glory on display. So Jochebed did that. She trusted God on a very personal level. Now, I mentioned that we see the story, we see the narrative unpacked in Exodus chapter 2, but we got a little backstory from Exodus chapter 1. So I'm just going to give you that backstory. The Israelites had come to Egypt to escape a famine, and they stayed there for a long, 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 long time. And they had kids. Lots and lots and lots of kids while they were staying there in Egypt. And the Pharaoh, the leader of Egypt, was kind to them. He kind of gave them favor. He was friendly toward them. But then he died. And another Pharaoh, another leader of Egypt, rose up. And he was not kind to the Israelites. In fact, he was kind of scared of them. So he made them slaves, had them do the dirty work for Egypt. Then he put them in captivity, made them slaves, and even though they became slaves to him because he was threatened by them, he still was worried about them, worried that they might rise up and revolt against them. And so he made this rule. He said, he went to all the Hebrew midwives. He said, listen, every Hebrew boy that's born, you are to kill. Every little baby boy that's born to the Hebrews, you kill. The girls, they're okay and let them live, but kill the boys. Because he was worried these boys could grow up and become an army and revolt against him. And so he said, kill the boys. But the Hebrew midwives, they're like, we're not going to do that. They didn't tell him that, but they're like, we fear God more than we fear Pharaoh. So they said, no. And then when Pharaoh looks after a while and there's all these boys coming around, it's like, hey, what's up with this? I told you to kill them all. They're alive. They said, honestly, truthfully, like, you just don't understand Hebrew women. They are strong and they birth quickly and they're popping these babies out faster than we can get there to stop it. As midwives, they're done with pregnancy before we even get on the scene. I mean, there's just kids popping out everywhere. There's little boys coming out everywhere. I'm just, woo, crazy, right? It's there. Exodus chapter 1. You read it for yourself. It's there, right? All right. Kids coming everywhere. So Pharaoh's like, all right, different plan. So he makes an edict in the land of Egypt. And this edict says that any Hebrew boy that is born must be thrown into the Nile River. Ooh. Oh, so you can't kill them before they're born. You can't kill them as they're born. We'll kill them after they're born. Now, imagine being a mom, a Hebrew mom, at that time. Imagine the place of Jochebed. She gets pregnant in this moment. And imagine that. I mean, what are you thinking? I mean, all the worry and everything. She's already got a daughter, Miriam, who's older. She's got Aaron, a son, who's already alive, so he's okay at this point. But then she becomes pregnant, and that's scary. I mean, this is where Jochebed enters the picture. There's this edict that's been passed, and we see Exodus chapter 2. About this time, a man and a woman from the tribe of Levi got married. It skips ahead a little bit in the story between verse 1 and verse 2. The woman became pregnant, we would say pregnant again, she's already got two kids, and gave birth to a son. She saw that he was a special baby and kept him hidden for 3 months. But just imagine being pregnant at that time. She's already got two kids, she's already got a daughter, already got a son, and then she's pregnant. And she doesn't know what she's going to have. I mean, she's going to have a kid, she's going to have a human. She doesn't know if it's going to be a boy or a girl. There's no ultrasound at that time. There's no gender reveal party at that time. The gender reveal is, hey, you just gave birth, great. Which model, you know? Like, that's gender reveal back in those days. So she knows she's pregnant, she's got a 50-50 chance, flip a coin, that her child is going to live, that he's going to be safe. And then she gives birth to Moses, hides him for 3 months. Why was she willing to do that? I mean, that's so scary at that time. There's an edict. Your child could be killed, but she hides him instead. Why? Because she feared God more than she feared Pharaoh, because she knew God's commands. She knew that children are a blessing given by God. She knew that God had told his people, be fruitful and multiply, have children. She knew that every life is precious before God. So, Jochebed trusted in God's promise. She trusted God's promise, a promise God had made to Abram many, 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 many years before. We see that promise in Genesis chapter 15. As the sun was going down, Abram, also known as Abraham, fell into a deep sleep, and a terrifying darkness came down over him. The Lord said to him, you can be sure that your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land. Now, this is a man who God had promised he was going to have descendants, faith descendants, as numerous as the sand on the shore, as numerous as the stars in the sky. But he says, but your descendants, they're going to be held captive. They're going to be in a foreign land, and they'll be oppressed as slaves for 400 years. But I will punish the nation that enslaves them. And in the end, they will come away with great wealth. Jochebed knew that they'd been in captivity. They'd been slaves in Egypt for 320 years. And she knew that God had promised that that slavery was only going to last 4 centuries, only going to last 400 years. And so Jochebed trusted God personally, not knowing who was in her belly. She knew, maybe, just maybe, God's going to use this child to help accomplish his deliverance for his people. Maybe he's going to use this child to show his faithfulness and make good on his promise to his people. I don't know, but God might just use my kid in some way, somehow, for his good and his glory. So she trusted God. She trusted him personally. And she was willing to bring a child into that crazy situation, into a situation where having a boy, the boy should be thrown into the Nile, left to die. You know, I hear people say these days, I don't know how anyone can have kids these days. I don't know why anybody want to bring a kid into this world. It's so broken, so messed up, so crazy, so scary. I don't know about bringing a kid into this world. I think Jochebed would like to have a word with you. See, more than ever, we need parents who know and follow God to have children who they teach to know and follow God. Kids who learn to love Jesus, who learn to put God's love and faithfulness on display for the rest of the world to see. Children who are discipled by parents in the way of God, who become disciple makers to help other people find and follow Jesus. Kids who grow up into adults, and even as kids, help shine the light of Christ into a dark world. Kids who push back the darkness, who usher in faith. Kids who lead other people to have saving faith in Jesus. The world needs that. I mean, Jesus said, you will have many troubles in this world. We all know that, right? We know. And it's not a maybe, it's not a you might, it's not a if. It's just a fact. You will have troubles, and not just troubles, you'll have many troubles in this world, we would say. Like, trouble comes at us. We know that. But sometimes I think we forget the second half of this verse. We forget what Jesus said after that. And Jesus said, take heart. Take heart. Like, you don't have to worry about those troubles. Why? Because I have already overcome the world. But sometimes we need to remember that what we celebrate on Easter is true every other day of the year, that the grave is still empty and the power of God is unleashed into this world through his people. So we need not fear the things going on in this world. And Jochebed trusted God on a very personal level. So let me ask, how are you doing with that? Are you trusting God personally? Like in real life situations. I don't mean just like, ah, I trust God. I mean like when it matters, when the situations in your life are less than you want them to be. Are you trusting God? Because when we do that, when we put our trust in God personally, meaningfully, then we put the power of God, we put the goodness of God on display for everyone else to see. So maybe for you, I don't know what it looks like, but maybe for you, you've had to trust God with a situation with your kid, maybe a health concern, maybe some rebellion, maybe some waywardness, maybe a situation where other people are teasing or doing something to your kid. Maybe you've had to trust God for another relationship, maybe your marriage, a friendship, a sibling with a parent. Maybe you've had to trust God with a job or your finances or your health. Now, I don't know what it is for you, but whatever it might be, how are you doing at actually trusting God? And saying, God, I trust you in this. So Jochebed trusted God. She trusted him personally. She trusted in his promise. She also trusted God's sovereign care. That means that God is the one in ultimate control. She trusted that God, you will be the one in ultimate control over this. See, in Exodus 2, we go on to read this. When she could no longer hide the baby, she got a basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. Hold on to that. She put the baby in the basket and laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. The baby's sister, Miriam, then stood at a distance watching to see what would happen to her little baby brother. Jochebed hid this child for 3 months. 3 months. Again, imagine that, right? Like, we don't want to just read the story and pull out truth. Like, we want to enter into this. Imagine, mamas, what that would be like. You've given birth to a boy, and the boy is supposed to be thrown into the river, and you've hidden him. 3 months, you're hiding him. Wondering, who else knows about this? Who can be trusted? Who's going to rat me out? Little boy starts crying in the middle of the night. Wah, 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 right? You know, you're trying to quiet that boy as everything else is silent. People are like, what's that? The cat. We stepped on the cat's tail, right? Like, you're trying to hide this little boy. And he's making noise and, right, I mean, there's stuff. And little boys make stinkies and they make all kinds of things and they make wah, wahs and all. And you're trying to hide this boy for 3 months. And the 3 months is up. And she's thinking, I can't do this any longer. My time's up. There's no way I can keep this up. So what does she do? She trusts God with the kid. She puts this child back in the Lord's care. It's a desperate place to be. It's really the only option that she thinks she has. I mean, she has to say goodbye to this child, to trust him into the care of the Lord, puts him in a papyrus basket and puts him among the reeds in the Nile River. I don't know if you've seen pictures in the Nile River. It's a large river. It's a dangerous river. It's a scary river. There are crocodiles in that river. Crikey, mate, right? I mean, they're like, they're in there, right? Like chomp chomp, right? They're coming for the kid, right? And she puts the kid there, and maybe you're wondering, like, why? How? Why would this mama do that? Like, I know she's out of time. I know she doesn't have many options, but that, maybe to you, that doesn't seem like the best option. But she knew what we need to remember. She knew something about this. She knew that this child that she had that was entrusted to her care, was ultimately not just her child. Even more, it's God's child. Even more, this is God's child. She knew, God, this baby's yours, not mine. So moms, I'm going to remind you something today. Dads, I'm going to remind you too, but we're speaking specifically to moms today. God loves your child even more than you do. God loves our children even more than I do. Now, listen, as I say this, I'm glad I'm on a stage apart from some of you moms, because I know, like, those are like them's fighting words, right? Like, nobody loves my child more. Preacher man, come a little closer. I'm going to throat chop you, boy. Like, nobody loves my kid more than I do. And I get that. I get it. I do. I'm a dad. But listen, we know. We all know. Even the best parents among us are imperfect parents. Even those of us who do the best we can with all that we've got are going to love our children imperfectly, because we have been marred and scarred by sin. And so our love for our children, even as good as it might be, still has the stain of sin upon it. But God, He's perfect. He is a perfect Father who loves us perfectly, whose faithfulness to us is perfect. And we are His children. He loves us perfectly. He loves our children perfectly. He loves them even more and even better than we do. Now, that doesn't diminish our love for our children. If anything, it lets us know how awesome God's love for them is. If God can love them even more than we do, how much must God love our kids? Now, when Jochebed placed Moses in that little boat, she had in mind all the ways God has been faithful in the past. And maybe for some of you, it'll help if we translate this word, papyrus basket, a little differently. See, the original language that was that this was written in is the Hebrew language. And the Hebrew language for the papyrus basket can also be translated another way. You ready for it? Ready? Ark. She put him in an ark. That's good timing. It's like she put him in an ark. Listen to what God said to Noah in Genesis chapter 6. Build a large ark of cypress wood and waterproof it with tar and pitch, both inside and out. So here's Jochebed making this little ark for her baby, waterproofing it with pitch and tar, both inside and out, putting her baby in there, putting it in the water, trusting him, even in the reeds, among the crocodiles, the chomp chompers coming for him, trusting. Why? Because she knew what God had done. She knew that God can be trusted because God is faithful. She knew that the God she was trusting this child to, who loved her child even more than she did, is the God who can see us through the troubled waters, to see us to the faithfulness on the other side. So she places this little three-month-old baby in this ark and says, God, I'm trusting him to you. Now imagine that goodbye. I mean, how scary that would be, how tear-filled that must be. I mean, just weeping, I'm sure, as she places this child in this ark, but she gives it to God because she knows he can lead him through the dangerous waters. Her trust in God was so rich and deep, in the sovereign care of God and the ultimate care of God, that God is the one ultimately in charge of all things. So friend, how are you doing with that? How are you doing with trusting God with his sovereign care over your life and every area of it? How are you with trusting God's sovereign care of your kids, of your marriage, of your family, of your job, of your health, over whatever else might cause you to worry and fret? How are you doing trusting God's sovereign care? Because he is worthy of our trust. So we know we can't control every scenario in our lives. We know we can't control every scenario with our kids and our grandkids. We can't control everything with our health. We can't control everything with our family. We can't control everything with our job. We got other knuckleheads we work for and work with. We can't control those peeps. I mean, we got stuff that's just out of our control. We can't control the weather. We can't even control the other drivers on the road on the way home today. Like, there's stuff out of our control. And sometimes just like, oh my goodness. And so what do we do with those things that are beyond our control? Is we got to hit pause and say, God, I trust you. With all those things beyond my control, all those things beyond what I can do, beyond what I can grip onto, God, I trust you with that. I trust you with my kids. I trust you with my family. I trust you with my spouse. I trust you with my health. I trust you with all of it. And you're worthy of my trust. You've proven yourself faithful. Friend, how are you doing with that? So Jochebed trusted God's sovereign care, and God put his glory on display through her as she trusted in him. Now, watch what happens next. Soon, Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe in the river. Now, listen, I don't know. Like, if you're Pharaoh's daughter, you're the princess of Egypt, I'm pretty sure you got a palace with some pretty fancy tubs. But for whatever reason, that day, God orchestrated that she desired, let's go take a bath in the river. And so she went down to bathe in the river, and her attendants walked along the riverbank. Why? Because she said, listen, if anybody's going to be eaten, I'm still the princess. You get chomped on first. So you go find if the crockies are there, and then we'll be fine. And when the princess saw the basket among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it for her. When the princess opened it up, she saw the baby, and the little boy was crying. Of course he was. Wah, wah. And she felt sorry for him. This must be one of the Hebrew children, she said. Then the baby's sister, that's Miriam. Remember Miriam standing on the river's edge, waiting to see what would happen with her little baby brother. Miriam approached the princess. How brave is this little Hebrew girl? And how brilliant is she to ask this question? Should I go and find one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? She asked. Yes, do, the princess replied. So the girl went and called the baby's mother, who happened to also be her own mother. Take this baby and nurse him for me, the princess told the baby's mother. She's speaking to Jochebed now, the mother of Moses, who she's holding, right? Nurse him for me, and I will pay you for your help. So the woman, Jochebed, took her baby home and nursed him. Later, when the boy was older, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. The princess named him Moses, for she explained, I lifted him out of the water. I mean, she trusted the Lord with her child. And God in his faithfulness orchestrated that her child would be given back to her. Not forever, not long enough, but for a season, she got her child back. And did you catch it? She got paid for it. Right now, every stay-at-home mama is like, speak that word over my life, preacher boy. Like, come on, preach it for me, prophesy that in my world, right? But sometimes God is just that good, isn't he? My wife and I have good friends. We used to serve in ministry together up in Illinois. And about the time we came here, they moved for my buddy to lead a church in another state. And they've got a child who has some physical challenges, such that he needs full-time care. And they knew they were going to need an in-home provider. Now, it just happens that my buddy's wife is a nurse, and that's the kind of care she provides. And so as they interacted with their insurance company, everyone else just saw that it made sense that mom would provide the care for her own child and get paid for it. Sometimes God is just that good, isn't he? Right? Now, we know sometimes it turns out a little different, though. I mean, there's this little boy in a papyrus ark, but what about all the other boys? What about all those other Hebrew boys who were tossed into the water without an ark? Now, sometimes the story looks different, doesn't it? And we don't want to move too quickly past that. We don't want to gloss over that. In this world, we will have trouble. God aches for those troubles. God grieves over those troubles. As Jochebed stood on the bank of the river, placing her boy in a little papyrus basket ark, trusting God, trusting your child to God, you know she wept. I mean, some of you, you know the way she wept because you felt that in your life. But she was not alone in her grief. God stood there weeping with her, didn't he? As that little girl, Miriam, stood on the bank of the river, watching what would happen, she did not stand alone. God stood with her, giving her the courage and the boldness to approach the princess. That little boy in that little basket was never alone. God was with him. And we know that God in his goodness brings glory to any kids in a situation like those little Hebrew babies. Now, that doesn't mean that because glory is so much better that anything we would experience on this side of glory. That doesn't mean for those of us here, we want to expedite the process or rush our time through. It means we want to be faithful in the moments we have. But it also means we can trust God in his goodness and in his love. That in his faithfulness, he's still working things out for the best eternally. You know, God can be trusted. And when we trust him, he puts his glory on display. And right now, it might not look the way you want it to look. Maybe you are facing a challenge with a kid or a grandkid or with a relationship, with your health, with a job, with money, with I don't know what. But whatever challenge you might be facing, you might be looking at saying, this does not look good. This is a terrible situation. And in that moment, your job, Jesus follower, is just to pause and say, God, I'm at my end, but I trust you. God, I trust you with my health. I trust you with my family. I trust you with all of this. Like, that's our job. And listen, that doesn't mean that we stop doing, right? Jochebed didn't just stop, throw her kid in the river, like, I trust him to be buoyant. There we go. Like, she built a little ark for the baby. She was working faithfully for her child, but then trusting the faithfulness of God to provide what she couldn't. She trusted the faithfulness of God to make up for where her faithfulness lacked, what her ability lacked. So she worked, she put effort to her faith, but trusted God to be bigger still. And that's our job. And it might not look the way we want. And God might not be finished yet. Like, we can hold to that we just need to trust God for the long game. Because to him, it's not long at all. For us, it might feel like forever, but in God, like, it's a moment. And so we trust him with the long game of life, however long those days may be. And we trust his goodness to come in. We trust the God who brings beauty from ashes, the God who takes what the enemy intended for evil, and God will turn it for good. The God who brings glory out of chaos and brings a message of hope out of the messiest parts of our lives. See, Jochebed demonstrated the glory of God because she trusted God personally, she trusted his sovereign care over all things, but she also trusted God to redeem the time. She trusted him to redeem the moments. We go back to verse 10. Later, when the boy was older. Now, in the Hebrew, there's actually a phrase there, an idiom, and it means when the boy was weaned. So probably around 3, maybe as old as 4, but about 3 years old, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who then adopted him as her own son. The princess named him Moses, for she explained, I lifted him out of the water. 3 years old. That seems so short. It's way too short for any mama to have with her child. But while she had him, she planted seeds of faith in him. She knew she had a short window, so she did all she could to redeem the time she had, and she prayed that God would redeem the time she did not have. She did all she could with the moment she was given, and she prayed that God would do even more with the moment she did not have. And while she had him, she spoke over him, didn't she? I mean, you know, like, you can just look in the window and see. You can hear her talking about God's faithfulness and how God is so good and so faithful. You can hear her talking about the ark that everybody else talked about. And by the way, little boy, you were in one too. You just hear her talking about the promise to Abraham and God's faithfulness to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to Joseph, to on and on and on, and how God is always faithful and will always be faithful, and how this little boy could trust in the faithfulness of God no matter what came his way. And then she had to hand him over. She has to take him back. She has to give him to somebody else. And when she did that, I guarantee her feelings were like the feelings of every other parent who has gotten to that place at any point where they had to let go. Like, we raise him up to send him out, don't we? I mean, listen, Moses, when he was at a certain age, had to be sent. He wasn't like 30 years old playing video games in Jochebed's basement. Like, boy, it is time. Like, why don't you go to Pharaoh's house, see what they're up to. He was 3 years old when she had to hand him over. But there comes a point where every parent has to release their kids, right? And mamas, you know this. Some of you have lived through it and experienced it. Some of you, like, you dread that day. And I guarantee her feelings. And listen, dads, we can tap into this too. I guarantee your feelings are like every other parent. I guarantee your feelings were something like mine every time I drop my kid off at college. Not like the first day of like moving. I mean like every time I visit campus and drive away. And I just graduated one from college. I'm about to move 2.5 hours the wrong direction. Abby, if you're listening, you're going the wrong way. Like, this way, this way. Chattanooga's too far. Take my little grandchild too far. Every time we leave the home, every time we leave those places, I'm thinking to myself, did I do enough? Did I speak enough? Was I faithful enough? God, did I put enough of you in them? Did I use every moment I had? You want to know the answer? No. Like every time I'm like, oh, but I could have, I should have. And I know that all the other parents, you feel that too. Like you feel this angst, right? The kids are there. You drop them off at college, you drive away, and you're like, oh, did I put enough of God in him? Did I put enough Jesus in him? Is that place, like Jochebed saying, is Egypt just going to steal out of my little boy Moses everything that I've put in? Are they going to put into him all the things that I don't want to be in there? And in that moment, we do what we can do best and most, and what is so much more effective than all the other things you speak in is our speaking to God on behalf of our children and praying for them and saying, God, I trust you to redeem all the time. I trust you to redeem the moments that I messed up. I trust you to take this child and to do what only you can do in the way that only you can do it for your good and your glory through my child. God, would you hold on to them, because I got to let them go. And so we do that, and we give our kids to God. And Jochebed did the best she had with the time she had, and she trusted all the rest of it to God. And then that baby boy became a man. He was adopted. I mean, you talk privilege, like if somebody's going to adopt that child. Adopted by the princess of Egypt into Pharaoh's own home. A slave child adopted into his home. And that boy, but God didn't need the 14-year-old version of him. God didn't even need the 40-year-old version of him. When he was 40 years old, he messed up. He ran. He fled. Then he goes off in the wilderness. And when he's 80 years old, through this miracle of its own in a burning bush, and God puts a call in his life. At 80 years old, God needs the old man Moses. Listen, if you're 80 or older, sorry, but that is kind of old. God needs 80, like old man Moses, to do what God's going to do. And Moses shows up at 80 years old, back in Egypt, back on the scene. Why? Because when Moses was born, the people of Egypt had been in captivity the people of Israel, the Hebrews, had been in captivity in Egypt as slaves for 320 years. Moses, 80 years old, 320 plus 80, do my math, 400 years. And you remember God's promise? You'll be slaves in that place for a while. But at 400 years, the dance is done. And God orchestrated all of it to bring his good promise to fruition through Moses. And God used Moses to lead his people out of Egypt and lead them into the land of promise. And God used Moses to bring the punishment, the due punishment for the Pharaoh of Egypt for not surrendering, for being more about his own kingdom than he was about God's kingdom. And God used Moses, maybe I need a mocha, I don't know. God used Moses to orchestrate all of that, to make good on the promise so many centuries before to Abraham. But none of that could have happened without those women. I mean, one more point for you, friends. Pharaoh overplayed his hand, didn't he? I mean, Pharaoh says, let's wipe out the boys. Get rid of the little Hebrew boys. Why? Because Hebrew boys grow up to be Hebrew men, and those Hebrew men can become Hebrew soldiers who can unite together, and then they're like, could be dangerous to my kingdom. They could overthrow, they could revolt. Just them, Pharaoh? Just those boys? Listen, Pharaoh, I got news for you. You missed it. You missed it. Just the boys can be dangerous? Because God worked through Hebrew midwives to preserve the lives of all those boys. Why? Because they were more fearful of the holy God of the universe than they were for some Pharaoh leader of Egypt. And God worked through a woman named Jochebed who preserved the life of her child, hid him for 3 months, put him in a basket, trusted him in an ark, and then God gave her back to her. And gave that little boy back to his mama. God worked through a little girl named Miriam who had so much bravery and so much brilliance to approach the princess, your own daughter, Pharaoh, to say, oh, should I get a Hebrew woman to nurse him? Pharaoh, God used your own daughter with compassion to care for this little child, to adopt this slave boy into your home where you raised him up. And God used that boy grown up in your home to do for God's kingdom to overthrow your little petty kingdom in Egypt there, Pharaoh. You think it's just the boys? You overplayed your hand. You don't know the power of God through a woman who trusts herself and her life to the Almighty God. Listen, church, let me remind you of something. The man of Moses could never have done what he did if it weren't for the women in his life who set the stage for him. So mamas, you remember that, right? Yeah, that's worth. Let me tell you, men and women can be dangerous for the kingdom of God if they put their trust in God. Women, you can be a dangerous woman to this world for the power of God to be on display through your life. And some of you moms, you're like new at the mom thing. You're like, I don't know what that looks like. I'm just busy. Like, how much can come out of, I know that not much that, we did not put this much food into this boy. How are we dealing with this much coming out the other end? Like, it's not good, right? Like, they like make stinkies and nasties and diapers and whoo, and you're just in that stage. You're like, we're running out of wipes, right? But you're praying for that child. And God will do through that child. And it might not be right away. You might not even get to see it. It might be 8 decades later when he's an 80-year-old man. And God does something miraculous and amazing through him. But your job now is to stay faithful in the moment. So how are you going to do that? How are we going to do that? Well, we're going to do that by trusting God with our lives, by trusting his sovereign care over our relationships and especially over our children, by trusting him with our jobs and our finances and our health and everything else that comes our way. We're going to do that by trusting him and acknowledging his faithfulness to us. And we're going to do that by praying over our kids and loving those children and doing everything we can with the moments we have and trusting God to make up the difference. And as we do that, God will put his glory on display through us as we trust in him. Let's pray. God, for any who are here today or listening online who have not yet put their trust in you, we know that that is the step of faith you want them to take. God, to surrender their lives and in doing so find the freedom, the hope, the peace that they've actually been searching for. God, this world's gonna have troubles. Whether we follow you or not, we're gonna face trouble, but with you, we know no trouble will overtake us because we know you are good and loving. And so God, I pray for anyone who has not yet put their hope in you that they would do that today, that they would trust the God who died on a cross for them to remove the punishment of their sin, the God who rose from the grave for our justification, the God who has the power to transform us and save us still. And God, for those of us who believe, would you show us the areas that we have tried to take back control of, those areas that maybe we've stopped trusting you in. God, in this moment, we commit those things to you as you bring them to our minds. God, we commit to trust you again with the areas of life that we are prone to worry and we're prone to fret and we're prone to try and take the control away from you. God, we surrender it back to you. And God, we thank you for all the ways that you speak to us. And I pray that you would do your good work by your power, by your spirit, in your timing, for your glory in our lives. Help us to be a people who learn what it means to trust you personally, to trust your sovereign care over our lives and the ones we love, to trust you to redeem the time, because God, we want to bring you glory. We want to be people who see your goodness, and we want to be people who put your goodness and your majesty and your greatness and your faithfulness on display for everyone else to see, in hopes that maybe, just maybe, others will come to join us in the endeavor of following you. And so God, we pray all of this in the good and loving name of our resurrecting King Jesus. Amen.